Well, I appreciate the opportunity to come and speak with you today, and I thank the Finn Conference Coordinators for asking me to come and talk about things that are near and dear to my heart. And I think you've heard the terms SNOMED, LOINC, and HL7 a little bit during this conference, and so you're going to hear it a lot more during my talks because I'm going to be talking about all three. But I'm going to kind of take a step back down from what Peter's talked about, which is a little higher level than how do you actually use these standards in transferring data back and forth. There's sometimes a little bit of confusion about what goes where and how things are used. And so I'm going to give just some overviews on some experiences that I've had actually in the trenches in trying to use these standards in some of the projects that I've worked on, and hopefully generate a little bit of consideration and discussion on when and where these things should be used. So first I just want to set the stage, and I go to Alice in Wonderland for setting the stage here, because the Humpty Dumpty had it, really said it best when he said, "When I use a word," Humpty Dumpty said, "in a rather scornful tone." I think that's an important consideration. It means just what I choose it to mean, neither more nor less. And then the bottom line is, the question is, which is to be master? That's all. And for discussion's sake today, I want to say that in the case of interoperability, the standards have to be the master. And not the users, because if everybody wants to be the master of their own terminology and messaging components, then we do not achieve the interoperability, which we've talked about. And again, just quickly, we've talked a lot about interoperability and a little bit about comparability, but the other thing that we haven't talked about too much is data quality. And standards really lend a lot towards the improvement of data quality, and applying them correctly is an essential component of achieving those levels of data quality that we're really looking for. So I think most people understand these in this audience, is that we can't, without standards, we can't transmit information reliably, we can't reliably aggregate, collate, or analyze data, we can't integrate external sources. Oftentimes we end up throwing away data that might lead to better patient care, increased profitability, improved biosecurity, simply because we haven't represented them in a way that makes them useful to other individuals or organizations. And because of that, we can't reliably contribute to pools of biomedical data. So, skipping ahead very quickly, I think everybody here knows what SNOMED is, but the scope of what SNOMED is oftentimes one of the obstacles to its use. One of the big complaints I hear, at least in the domain that I work in, is, well, SNOMED may be good, but it's so big, and how do I use it? So there's some examples of how you might do it, but in its structure, SNOMED is actually fairly simple. It's got a series of core tables with some mechanisms that surround it, but for our purposes, the core tables are really the key to what we're looking at here. And the core tables are only three, and that is the concepts that Peter had talked about before, the descriptions, which are alternative representations of the concepts, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later as well, and then the bidirectional relationships amongst concepts. And those relationships define how terms are related to one another explicitly using the description logic that's built into the standard itself. One of the other items that comes up is that, well, SNOMED is great, but it doesn't have the words that I need. Well, words is one thing, but does it have the concepts that you need? And in many cases, it's not going to have the concepts that you need. And as Jim Cimino published in his article on the Desiderata for Controlled Medical Terminologies, number one rule is content. You have to have content in order for the standards to be adopted, or the people are going to look at it and say, it doesn't say what I want it to say, therefore I can't use it, and they abandon it. SNOMED extensions are a really valuable tool, and we've used them in our work. And what they are is a terminology that's developed for a particular geographic or administrative requirement that's not part of the SNOMED core. And that's an important concept, is you don't replicate what's already in the core in your extension. You're only putting into the extension terms that are not already included in the core. Now, the extensions themselves are authorized by SNOMED. You really need to go to, I'm not sure now if you go to ITSIDU or whether you go to CAP to get your extensions, but you are assigned an extension identifier by SNOMED. But they don't manage them. They essentially give you the identifier, and you then manage your own extension. But there are some rules that go along with that. What they allow you to do is to create terms rapidly that comply with SNOMED modeling tools. If anybody has submitted terms to SNOMED, you know that sometimes there's a long turnaround time before they actually show up in the core or before you're assigned an identifier. With the use of extensions, if you're managing your extension locally, you can get those terms back in a very rapid turnaround time. And the other consideration is that if you need a term very quickly, but you know it should be in the core, you can add it to your extension, use it in your extension for a period of time, submit it for inclusion in the core, and then retire that term through the normal SNOMED retirement process when it does get accepted for inclusion in the core. So extensions are really, really powerful if you've got a really dynamic environment that you need to create new concepts for, and the existing core terminology doesn't support it. So just to give you an example, I work in the veterinary field, and I work for the National Animal Health Laboratory Network system, and we have a lot of them because while veterinary medicine is fairly well represented in SNOMED, they don't have everything because we've got some funny things that we do with all of our little animals. So an example of an extension term that we have is a specimen type that we used in a recent, actually we used this in our avian influenza surveillance, is an oropharyngeal swab. That didn't exist in the core terminology, but it's one that we use very, very frequently. You can identify the extension component by looking for that six-digit identifier that's assigned by SNOMED. But how do you know that it's an extension term? Part of the SNOMED concept identifier are the second and third from the right parts of the SNOMED code identify what type of code it is. And if you remember back to Peter's earlier slides, all of the terms, all the concepts that he put up there had 00 in those two positions there, which means that they're concept, current code concept identifiers. So with that, because that's assigned essentially a concept unique identifier just like any other SNOMED identifier, you can integrate it directly into the core terminology by assigning the is apparent. So in this case, we assign this particular specimen to an upper respiratory swab specimen, which is in fact a core concept identifier. And so we have that direct linkage into the core through the use of this extension, and we can extend this extension as far as we need, as long as we adhere to the normal SNOMED modeling process. So now, in the context of HL7, I think most people here, who is not familiar with HL7 here? Excellent. Austin. So it's the protocol. It's the wrapper that surrounds these terms, and the issues are, where do I use SNOMED? How do I use it? Why do I use it? And when do I use it? So we'll try to go through each of these little steps in when that would happen. So why would you want to use SNOMED in the first place? Well, one of the reasons is that it's one of the few actively maintained general reference terminologies for health. It is, while sometimes it takes a long time to get your codes in, they actually are working. And they've got a lot of work to do because it's such a huge terminology to manage. But it is actively maintained, and they are responsive to the needs of the people that are anticipating using it. It provides a really broad scope of terminological coverage. There are some things in there that that aren't covered yet, but we're planning on putting them in there, and I think a lot of other people, once they get involved in the SNOMED community, would be willing to do this, make the same effort to put them in as well. It's based on a very solid information model that ensures the longevity of the terminology. So this is not something that's going to go away in terms of becoming obsolete, because the methodology of creating and managing the terminology is fairly solid. And it conforms to good vocabulary practices in terms of the way that it's actually being managed by the by ITSIDO, by the organization that now manages SNOMED. And it does provide some tools for mapping and subsetting, which is a really important component, because what we're really trying to do is take the terms that we use in our current environments and map them to standardized concepts for exchange. But we don't want to use everything, and we don't want to include everything, so we have to have a way of cutting SNOMED down. And those tools are actually provided through the SNOMED group. And again, it allows extensions so that you can put in domain-specific terms as needed. So when do you want to consider using SNOMED for HL7 messaging? In our environment, in the environment that I work in now, we use it wherever we can and whenever we can. So in essence, if the field is populated with a coded value, then it is it meets the first criteria for whether or not you're going to use SNOMED. The second criteria is whether or not that domain is actually covered in SNOMED. But in many cases, it will be, at least in most of the messages that we're using in our clinical cases now. So some examples of those are things like marital status, specimen types, specimen sources, taxonomies, observation values that have a nominal value. Those are the types of fields that always come back or always are requested as coded values. And so SNOMED is an eligible terminology to be used in that context. But what part of SNOMED should be used? I think it's critical to understand that you only want to use the parts that you need. You don't want to incorporate into your systems, especially if it's something that your users might end up seeing, things that you don't need that will confuse the users. You want to minimize those sets and subset it down to the minimum that you need. You want to make sure when you're using terms that you're not matching on words alone, that you're not pulling hierarchy simply based on the words. And you need to be able to make sure that you're using the terms from the proper hierarchy. The example that I use here is that we've got three representations of swab. So if you're matching solely on swab and you pick the first one, you may be getting the right one if, in fact, it's a specimen type. If it's not a specimen type and you're talking about a swab as a physical object that you want to send from one clinic to another as a supply order, you wouldn't be using the right term if you picked the specimen swab. So again, you want to make sure that you're considering the top level is apparent in the terms that you need in order to make sure that you're selecting the correct hierarchy when you select the term that you're going to map your local codes to. And you also want to make sure that you're using terms of the proper specificity. In anatomy, there are multiple representations of what appear to be similar concepts, but in fact, they're not. So if we're looking at things like body structures, we need to be able to differentiate an entire organ, which is represented by a particular term in SNOMED, from different parts of an organ. And in this case, I have something like liver structure versus the entire liver versus a part of a liver. And all of those show up in a lot of the browsers with a synonym or a description of liver. So if you're just looking at descriptions and you're just looking for the term liver, you may end up with at least three different representations of what a liver means in the context of SNOMED. So you have to be very careful when you're doing that type of mapping. So how do you actually use it? Well, within the context of an HL7 message, it's very, very important that you understand the semantics of the HL7 field that you're trying to populate. So in a lot of cases, you may want to represent a particular concept in a field for which that field doesn't contain the right definition, but it's convenient to send it that way. And that's not good practice in general. So it's important to try and make sure that what you're trying to populate a field in an HL7 message with is consistent with the actual definition of what that field represents. I think that it's important to map your local terminology to the SNOMED concepts and match those local concepts with those concepts in SNOMED in order to identify what's missing. Don't be satisfied necessarily with the fact that the term that you're trying to map is not necessarily in there. Those should be a stimulus for you to participate with the standards organizations and enhance that terminology in order to meet your particular needs. Having an extension is a nice thing to help in that if there is a concept that you're absolutely sure does not exist in the terminology and yet you need it, you can add it to your extension and make sure that that's next part of your next submission. In some cases, you're going to be required to post-coordinate. And again, I thank Peter for introducing the concept of post-coordination because in many cases that's going to be necessary simply because SNOMED does not try to pre-coordinate all of the medical concepts that we might want to transmit in a particular message. You can also try and use the SNOMED terms as an interface terminology. In many cases, that's not necessarily a good thing. And the reason being that there are fully specified names, which are the representation of the concept that SNOMED thinks is the most precise representation of the concept itself, with a limited number of descriptions. So the fully specified name may, in fact, be technically correct, but from a user standpoint, it may be less than friendly. And so using the SNOMED terminology itself as an interface terminology, as opposed to using mapping tables back and forth with SNOMED, may cause more problems for your users than it would solve in terms of improving your data quality. Your subsets need to be small. That's often problematic, and a friend of mine who also works in the terminology field has said that in many cases in medical practice, when they're trying to create a system, they want to keep their terms so small that they actually want to write War and Peace, but only use the words in Fun with Dick and Jane. And what we find is that medicine is complicated, and because it's so complicated, what you need to do is balance between keeping your interface terminology small, but adequately and appropriately representing the terminology that you want to represent and the data that you want to represent. When you do subset SNOMED, there are some tools that provide you with a mechanism to actually create those subsets of the hierarchy, but oftentimes if you then manually go through and look at those, you'll find terms that really don't fit with the concepts that you're trying to represent in your subsets. And so there's always going to be some manual labor in removing terms that are not specific to your particular need. So a little bit about post-coordination of results in HL7 messages. And just a brief scenario that, for example, in this case, we'll look at nutritional deficiencies. There are a number of nutritional deficiencies that are represented as pre-coordinated terms in SNOMED, such as calcium deficiency, copper deficiencies, those are in there. But there are some that aren't represented. So for instance, taurine deficiency, which is important in veterinary medicine, there's no pre-coordinated code for that. So there are a couple of mechanisms for post-coordination within the context of an HL7 message. One of the ways that you could do it is to use the SNOMED CT compositional grammar. And the compositional grammar allows you to maintain the relationships amongst the different components of a post-coordinated term in a very terse syntax. And a couple of examples, or one example of the terse syntax here represents a taurine deficiency. And the fully expressed version of it, as you can see, it's a nutritional deficiency that's associated with taurine in there. And so that would be excuse me, one way that you can represent a post-coordinated concept within a single field within an HL7 message. It can be transmitted as a unit. We're trying to get some some rules on how to use post-coordination in the different versions of HL7. And so because of this, this probably at this time requires some specific site-to-site negotiation in order to interpret a complex code phrase like that. An alternative way of doing it within HL7 is to use something called the observation sub-ID. And in this case, then, you create a hierarchy within the sub-ID that allows you to specify the relationships between the individual concepts that come from SNOMED. It's a little more lengthy, and depending on the level of post-coordination that you want to represent, you could have dozens of OBX segments that represent that. But it essentially serves the same purpose as the terse syntax, but it's explicit in that you've got a single representation of each concept within the message itself. So again, if you're going to decide to use that as a mechanism for transmitting your data, you're going to want to site-to-site negotiate with your trading partner, your messaging partner, in order to do that. Now I want to cover a couple specific issues that relate to specimen within the context, again, of HL7 messaging in SNOMED. I think everybody recognizes that specimen types within public health are really complex, that you can, and almost anything that can physically exist can become a specimen in a public health laboratory. And since SNOMED doesn't pre-coordinate every specimen that could possibly exist in the universe, then we're going to obviously at some point have to do post-coordination of some sort. Well, the HL7 specimen tables as they exist right now, I think, are fairly incomplete, very clinically focused, and contain a lot of different types of concepts other than specimen concepts. And so they're not really appropriate, I think, for the types of specimens that we need to represent in public health. But SNOMED also doesn't contain any of the sufficient pre-coordinated specimen content in order to do that. So in light of that, starting with version 2.5, I think a lot of people are familiar with the addition of the SPM segment, which was an attempt to take the concepts that were more relevant to the types of specimens that we see in a generic standpoint and address some of these things without requiring post-coordination. So some examples are, here we have a pre-coordinated term that exists, such as an abscess swab, and that could go into the specimen type field within an HL7 message, and that fulfills the need to transmit that because it fully represents what you're trying to say. However, if you're trying to say that you're taking a corneal swab, that's not a pre-coordinated term. So in this case, what you can use is you can use the generic swab specimen type in the specimen type field. And in the specimen source field, then you'd use a body structure code that represents where that swab was taken from. So now you've represented that concept as a post-coordinated concept, but it's being post-coordinated by different attributes within the SPM segment. And then if you've got a nasal swab in transport medium, then you would use another attribute within the SPM segment to fully represent that post-coordinated concept. So another thing that we've been working on within SNOMED is the organism hierarchy. And I don't know how many people have had the opportunity or the fun of looking at the organism hierarchy within SNOMED. It was suboptimal, I think, is the nice way of saying it. So a couple of years ago, a group got together and we held a summit, a taxonomy summit, essentially looking to see what needed to be done to clean up the organism hierarchy within SNOMED. And what we wanted to do, what the group decided as a consensus was, what we really want to do is we want to clean up that hierarchy so that it's a strictly Linnaean hierarchy, and that we want to make sure that we get rid of ambiguous concepts that have caused problems but are continuing to be used and misrepresent what we're really trying to say. So concepts such as pathogenic organism, which is a very ambiguous term because what's pathogenic today may not be pathogenic tomorrow and vice versa. What's not today may be tomorrow. Infectious agent, the same thing. Domestic mammal, I think if we go international, what qualifies as a domestic mammal in other places of the world may be considerably different than what we consider to be a domestic mammal here in the United States. We decided that the fully specified name is going to be the Latin name. So here we have the fully specified name of a mountain lion as Puma concolor, but then we've also made sure that we add common descriptors so that people can find those more easily. Now that is a more complicated thing than one might expect, but because we didn't consider foreign languages, and foreign languages will add another completely new set of descriptors in there. We also developed something in response to some concerns that actually came out of the CDC, is how do I represent cross-genus but not fully family-oriented animals? An example would be deer. We got a deer in. I don't know what kind of deer it is. All I know is it's a deer. Well, deer exist in five different genera within the Linnaean taxonomy, but the next level up is the order Cervidae, which includes antelope and elk and other types of cervid-type animals. And so because there are more than 10 genuses of cervids, and not all of them are deer, you can't just use the word deer and keep it in a strict Linnaean hierarchy. So we've had to create another navigational hierarchy that allows you to say, if you say deer, then what you mean is these five genera that come out of the subclass of the hierarchy under family Cervidae. So those are the kinds of things, and there are dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of representations of that, common words that we use, which in fact are very ambiguous in their meaning. The other decision, and this is a big one that impacts public health, is that we've restricted bacterial and viral names to their intrinsic characteristics. So those are things that are characteristics of the organism as a whole, not what we observe about the organism. So things like serotypes. Serotypes are not intrinsic characteristics, they're characterizations that are based on particular types of methodological observations. And so because of that, we didn't want to build that up. Primarily because the way that people designate strains of microorganisms changes over time based on the technologies that are available. So we may use serology one day, we may use plasmid analysis another day, we may be using genotype analysis or SNP analysis another day. Those are characteristics or observations about the organism, but they are not intrinsic characteristics of the organism itself. And so we've left those out. What we need to do is come up with a mechanism of representing that so that we can handle those types of organisms. And then lastly, I wanted to talk a little bit about legacy codes versus concept ID. There are lots of implementations of SNOMED that use the legacy alphanumeric codes. And SNOMED recognized that. And because they recognize that, they've continued to maintain assigning legacy alphanumeric codes to all new concepts that are added to the SNOMED CT concepts. But when they created the new CT model, actually when they created the RT model, they replaced these concept identifiers and description with concept identifiers and description identifiers. So they separate out the individual descriptions and the concept itself. So the concept has one identifier, and then all of the descriptions that are associated with that have additional identifiers that are tied back to that concept. So the advantages of using the concept identifiers and the description identifiers is that these can be easily used with extensions. The alphanumeric ones can't be used with extensions because you don't have any way of assigning an extension identifier using the alphanumeric codes. The other thing is that it provides unique identifiers for the descriptions themselves. An example that I use here is anthrax. So what we have is we have anthrax in the concept identifier that is currently in CT, plus all of the description identifiers that go along with the descriptions that are associated with anthrax as the disease. The legacy ID is the same for all of these. And so it's not possible to differentiate the different descriptions using the legacy ID from that. And I think it's important to understand that descriptions are not synonyms. The reason I say that is a synonym is a word that means the same as another word. And what we have here is we have phrases that represent that. And so because we have phrases, we're not actually using total synonymy here, but we're using alternative description representations of the concept itself, even though they are supposed to be consistent, semantically equivalent. So in summary, I think when you're using SNOMED within HL7, you need to identify the fields that you're going to choose in order to do that. And you notice that I put CWE fields in there, and those are coded with exception fields. For the most part, you only want to use those because fields that have that are coded as coded without exception or coded no exception, CNE fields, are usually structural codes, and HL7 defines those code systems, and you don't want to deviate from those. You want to identify the proper hierarchy from which to draw your concepts, subset the hierarchy for those particular needs that you have, prune severely. And what I mean by that is it's easier to add a code back than it is to have a whole bunch of terms that are going to confuse your users. Post-coordinate as needed, and then evaluate the need for a local extension. I think it's important as you go through your evaluation of use of SNOMED, is an extension something that would really benefit our organization? We've benefited tremendously from it, although it is some work to maintain it. So that's another thing that you need to consider in doing that. And then, if you identify concepts, submit them to SNOMED so they could be included in the core. So with that, I will finish this presentation. I'll move into the next one here in a minute. Go ahead and do that.